Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
To see how the fine details of the tabernacle correspond so closely to many aspects of our enjoyment and experience of Christ and His dwelling place, the church, cannot but increase our awe at the divine wisdom in the Word of God. But not many teachers have continued to develop the types in Exodus, such as the priestly garments detailed in chapter 28. Today we come to our 9th Life Study broadcast covering the extraordinary garments worn by the high priest. Bob Danker is with us again today as we begin our consideration of the breastplate, an article of clothing worn exclusively by the high priest as he conducted his service in the Holy of Holies. Wonderful to have you back, Bob.
Very good to be back, Chris.
Bob, particularly today, we want to look at the stones that were set in the breastplate. We've talked a little bit about the breastplate. Of course, we've been talking about the ephod and how these are very much connected. In fact, the ephod attached the breastplate to the breast of the high priest. But on this breastplate, 12 stones, each one precious, each one engraved with the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Here's the verse from chapter 28 of Exodus, verse 21. And the stones shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Each one according to his name they shall be for the 12 tribes. We're going to see today, Bob, that there's a lot of significance in all of these aspects, isn't there?
There is. So much detail is given here, and as we open to the Lord and come to Him, then He is able to show us the spiritual significance of all these details. And this is a great guide and a tremendous help for us in our Christian experience.
Yeah, as we're now, you know, well into this life study of Exodus, about 2/3 of the way, the experiential quality of these messages just amazes me day after day.
Yes, Chris, these messages are altogether related to our experience.
So we're not here conducting a Bible study just to unveil sort of interesting or fascinating types and what they represent. We're really here in the burden of the minister that offered us all of these great messages, Witness Lee, to help usher ourselves, our listeners, into a richer and more genuine experience of Christ day by day. All right, let's join Witness Lee for this first portion.
You could see 12 stones engraved with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on the breastplate. They signify all the redeemed people of God, not in a separated way, not in a individualistic way, but in a corporate way. Yes, they are separate, but they are not divided. They are put together. They are incorporated. They are built together to become one entity. And the name of that entity is the breastplate. The Lord bears us in an incorporated way. 12 pieces, but one entity. On the breast, one entity, which is with 12 single pieces. And all the single pieces are separate. You are you, and I'm I. But we all are not divided. Amen. We are separate pieces, but we are not separate. Not that today's Christians. Today's Christians are all separate. Not only separated, all divided. It seems the Lord bears you, individualistic you. But the Lord has only one bearing. He only bears one entity, that is the church,
Amen.
And that is His body.
Amen.
If you have adequate light, you would weep for today's Christians. 12 tribes, but they're all composed together. All the 12 stones are built into one entity. The breastplate is a building. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Building with precious stone in gold.
Amen.
Gold is the cement. All these 12 stones are cemented, so they all become one building.
Well, Brother Bob, a verse that we've mentioned so frequently over the course of these life study programs, but I couldn't help but think of again in Matthew, where the Lord says, in what we believe is the greatest prophecy in the New Testament, at least, perhaps the whole Bible, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." How about seeing the breastplate here, Bob, as a type of the building of God?
It's marvelous, Chris, really marvelous. All these stones, 12 of them, in a sense, they were individual stones, but they were all put together in a marvelous arrangement and held together by the gold on the breastplate. They represent here the builded church, the church that has been built together. You know, one of the great tragedies and difficulties among Christians is that we, I include myself in this group, we tend to see ourselves as individuals.
Right.
We tend to see ourselves as those who are individually born on the loving breast of Christ. You know, oh, the Lord bears me on his breast. But this picture shows that the Lord doesn't bear us as individual stones. He bears one entity, which is the church that he prophesied that he would build, and that he is now building today. And in God's eternal view, it is already built. Nevertheless, it's one entity. One entity. We all have to have our concept, I would say, revolutionized. We are individuals in a sense. You know, I am myself, and all Christians are individual believers, but actually, in the eyes of the Lord, we are built together as one entity. That one entity is the church, and the church is the body of Christ.
Bob, I like how you point us here to the Lord's view. You know, each stone was inscribed or engraved with the name of one of the 12 tribes, which means then collectively, as a group, this represented all of God's people. And surely some were in a higher spiritual condition than others. Some may have been in a very, very sad way. But nonetheless, the Lord had all their names inscribed on this breastplate that he wears over his heart, meaning that he sees the church as this corporate entity. And I like some of the language here, a particular utterance that Witness Lee used here. He said, the stones were separate, but not separated. Of course, there we do have an individual, you know, person and personality, which the Lord regards and takes care of. But he's really desiring, and what's on his heart is this builded, this corporate, this incorporated body of his people.
That's right, Chris. If we view ourselves as individuals, then we are so free. We're very free to do what we feel is right. And down through the centuries, this has led to division upon division among the Lord's children. It's altogether related to our view. We must see ourselves not as individuals, but as members of the body of Christ, one entity that should not be and cannot be divided.
Well, that's the Lord's view. It was his prayer in John. It was prophesied that one day it would even be the reality among his people, at least prior to his coming back, it seems. So let's carry on. Bob, we're going to want to look now. These stones were all different types of stones, but they did have something very marvelous in common, and that is that they were all precious. Let's find out about the precious stones in this coming portion.
Precious stones signify transformation of human nature by and with divine nature. Precious stones were not originally created by God. They were dust. They were some other minerals. They were not precious stones. It took a long time. The dust some minerals transferred into some stones so precious. The precious stones, which were something transformed into the precious stones, like what? Like some wood under the water. And then it could be petrified. That is transformed. And the water washes away its natural elements. And the same washing water brings in some other minerals. And gradually, that piece of stone has transformed into a piece of precious stone. This transformation, the Christian living, you have to realize, every day is the process of transformation. We were just dust. The Bible told us we were made with dust. But one day, the heavenly mineral with the heavenly flow came into our being. That is the water of the divine life. That is the water of the divine spirit. It came in to begin the washing work. All the day long, every day, washes away our natural life. This flow, this current of the divine life brings in heavenly divine minerals into our being. So day after day, we are living a life of transformation. We all are here. You believe me. We all are here under God's transformation.
Bob, I find this a particularly interesting notion. Precious stones are not created. They're produced. They're formed. One example we've used in the past, it's not in this particular program, and maybe worthy still of mention, is even a diamond, you know, what I think many, many people consider the most precious. That starts out just a black lump of coal. But under extreme pressure and extreme heat over a long period of time, something happens. It's transformed into something precious. Now, the example that we're using today is also marvelous, and that is this matter of petrified wood. And that picture, maybe you can say something more on this.
Yes, Chris, this is a very good illustration of transformation. Here you have a piece of wood, but this wood finds itself located in a stream of water, and it stays there perhaps for hundreds of years, for a very long time. And that water just flows over and into that wood, and a process takes place, a gradual and slow process in which the minerals in the water replace the element of wood in that piece of wood, and although the wood retains the shape that it formerly had, it is reconstituted, we could say. It has a different constitution. It's reconstituted with the minerals from the flowing water that it remains in for many, many, many years. This is a picture of our transformation. God wants to transform us. He created us out of dust.
Right.
We see it in Genesis chapter 2, right?
Sure.
Our body was formed from the dust,
dust of the
ground.
Right.
But he wants to transform our entire being from something created to something that has a divine constitution. Something of his divinity is constituted into our humanity. Burley used the expression divine minerals or heavenly minerals.
Yeah.
So when the Holy Spirit enters into us, he comes into us as the flowing water of life. And as we enjoy this flowing river of water of life day after day, some divine heavenly minerals are brought into our being, and some of the old element of our natural life is discharged, eliminated, and replaced with this divine heavenly elements. So this is a picture of the process we are in. Just as petrification requires a process, so transformation requires a process. It's a process by which our constitution is changed gradually. And Witness Lee says here, this describes what the Christian living should be. From the day that we are saved until the day we either die or the Lord returns, we need to realize that we need a Christian life that is in the process of transformation. If we neglect the matter of transformation, then this experience which God wants us to have will not take place. So we need to pay our full attention to the matter of transformation as long as we're living on this earth, the Christian life. I really appreciate Witness Lee's reminding us of this so that we will not neglect it.
Right.
I'm afraid that it is neglected by many believers today who don't realize that God wants to metabolically transform their inner being. And so this matter has been neglected among God's children, but I thank the Lord for this ministry that, again, brings this into our attention and our consciousness that we need to give ourselves to the Lord, that every day will bring about in us a little more transformation.
You know, Bob, there's nothing that that piece of wood can do to affect this change on itself. There's no amount of instruction or motivation or 12 steps or whatever. The only hope that piece of wood has to endure, survive beyond the normal lifespan of a fallen tree is to land in that water and stay there over an extended period of time so that the natural element is washed away but replaced by something mineral or, in the analogy, divine. And I like this particular example of transformation so much because the cellular structure, the appearance of the tree, actually stays the same. That means even in our lifetimes, this process can go on, even to our spouse or our coworkers or our neighbors. We may look the same. In fact, maybe we look worse because we're aging, but inwardly, the element is changing. And when they touch us, I mean, you know, in a real way, they're touching something else. They're touching something that wasn't there before.
That's right. We become precious. Precious stones.
Precious stones. Okay, we want to go to the third section today. Now we're going to look at how these 12 stones actually are even arranged on the breastplate, and we'll find out it too has great significance.
In the book of Revelation, in the first page, the number you have is seven. Seven lampstands, seven stars, seven churches, seven cities, 777. Not only so, through all the chapters, all the way, you have the number seven. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bulls, 70, seven then, all the number is seven. Seven is through the entire book. But to the end of the book, you have a city full of the number 12. Seven is that? The triune God three added to his creature, man. Number four, it's addition. It's not a multiplication. That is just a joining. That is not mingling. The Bible eventually tells us not just an union, joining, but a mingling. It is not three added to four, but three mingled with four. And this is not addition, this is multiplication. So eventually, we will not be number seven. Today we are. Eventually, we will be number 12. You think this is something accidental? That here you have 12 on the breastplate? As the number in the New Jerusalem? No. This all planned by God in eternity. God planned in eternity to have something as the number 12. What the number 12 signifies? It signifies the triune God mingled with his creatures. In man's eyes, the church today, or the churches today, are seven. But in God's eyes, the churches are number 12. God has only an eternal life. With God, there's not the matter of time. So some teacher did say that in the heavens with God, there's no clock. There's only eternity. From eternity through eternity. So in the eyes of God, the church is 12. And what Christ bears in his heart, on his breast, is the eternal church. Not the temporal church. Not the present church. And this church, the eternal church, is absolutely a mingling of the divinity with humanity.
Bob, looking at the clock, I'm glad we have adequate time here. This is a crucial, crucial subject. You know, I don't think it's saying too much. In the early years in Witness Lee's ministry, when he began to bring forth this matter of mingling, God and men being mingled, there was a tremendous amount of opposition because there was a tremendous amount of misunderstanding of what he meant and what he didn't mean. Of course, if you read his ministry with any degree of care, you realize he was very proper in his understanding and even in his utterance. But nonetheless, it was very misunderstood and the source of even some controversy. Over the years, of course, he's been gone now for many years with the Lord. It's very interesting to me. This matter is starting to become a topic of study, of investigation, not from a critical point of view, but it's many now are looking into this as perhaps something that we've overlooked and missed. Well, let's talk about mingling and how it's depicted, of course, in this type, but also just in principle, because it's a crucial part of this ministry.
It really is, Chris. You know, here in the book of Revelation, as Witness Lee pointed out, we have two numbers, the number 7 and the number 12. The number 7 and number 12 are both composed of 3 and 4.
Right.
Only the number 7 is composed of 3 and 4 added. And this number is used to describe things in time, in the realm of time, such as the 7 churches, the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets. All these take place in time. But when we get to the New Jerusalem, the number changes from 7 to 12. And 12 is 4 times 3.
Right.
So we know in the Bible, 3 represents the triune God.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 represents the creatures, because you have the 4 corners of the earth and the 4 winds that are found in the Bible. And man is the number 1 creature. So when you have 4 and 3, you have somehow a relationship between the triune God and his creature man. The number 7 shows God and man added together, or joined, let's say. But the number 12, in the proper understanding, it depicts God and man mingled together. Now, mingling is more than just a joining. It is a combining of two elements in such a way that they are in each other. God is in man, and man is in God. They're inseparable. They become inseparable. Yet, they do not lose their distinction.
Right.
God is not changed. Neither is man changed into something that's not human.
Right.
But the two are not merely united, but they're combined. They interpenetrate one another. They dwell in each other, and they become inseparable. So this is the real meaning of mingling. It doesn't mean that God is transmuted into something else and man becomes other than human. It means that these two, God and man, are combined together in an inseparable way in which they two dwell in each other. This is marvelous, and this is what the New Testament reveals.
It does, and Witness Lee liked this word mingling, despite the opposition, because it's a biblical term, and the type
yes.
that he drew it from in Leviticus 2:4 is that of the meal offering composed of the fine flour, representing the humanity of Christ, mingled with the pure olive oil, representing the divinity of God.
Marvelous fellowship. I really have gotten so much out of these life studies. Thank you very much for listening.